Hi there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. So what we're moving forward with today, Jennifer, welcome back. I haven't talked to you on a podcast in forever.
I was like, you've been my husband.
We're together every day.
When we're together, we're always together.
We are. But does it feel like we haven't recorded in a while, but we haven't had like just you and me?
Not just you and me. Like this is old school.
Yeah. So we are going old school. But really, what we're talking about today for everybody out there in listener land, we recently were part of a huge fashion show down in Fort Lauderdale. It was the second annual MS Focus on Fashion, hosted by the Multiple Sclerosis Foundation. And we were honored to be among the people who modeled adaptive clothing. Wow.
Wow, that's a mouthful. And yes, we flew 1,500 miles away. Well, nearly 1,500.
Don't let the truth get in the way of a good story. It was almost 1,500.
We flew almost 1,500 miles away, which is, if you've listened to our podcast, you know my anxiety and trepidation with flying and having to be, then to let go of my power chair and picked up and transferred into an airplane. Oh, never mind that the time we did it was when the country was pretty well shut down. Do you remember that, Dan? It was just a few weeks ago, but it doesn't even feel like it was
like at the cusp of I think the government was shut down, but I think just as we were flying back, they had passed the whatever they needed to pass to allow this. So that was a lot. I mean, just in terms of the stress of whether we'd actually be able to make it down to Florida and would we be delayed? And I think that's the big thing is always, you know, what would have happened had we been stuck at the airport and how do we do that with, you know, the family restroom accessible, everything.
And it was, we were nervous and a little anxious, but we put faith in the airline, which was incredible. And we had really good, just it was good transportation and it was good.
It was, I mean, and that's just where, you know, when you travel, when you have a wheelchair, most places don't have wheelchair accessible transportation. I mean, as far as taxis, cabs, things like that, Uber, Lyft, that's not a priority for them. And so it's really, you are at the mercy of, I think that's blessed the airport that they had somebody there outside that could find an accessible cab to get us there so we could lock that in for the trip back to the airport.
I think you have to describe it in the fact that we flew out of Detroit, which we are in Michigan, so that's 2.5 hours from our house. And that was fine because we had our own vehicle and was able to do that. But then once we got to Fort Lauderdale, you know, Dan and I have traveled quite a bit here in the United States, but we've always gone to places where handicap accessible cabs were easy to get. And it was, you know, we landed in Fort Lauderdale and we did, as you were saying, have somebody who hollered or hailed a taxi cab, an accessible cab for us.
Well, he knew. I mean, that's his job at the airport is to line people up with transportation. And when you came out in your wheelchair, he knew exactly what you needed. And so he, I don't want to say stalked the cab, but he found
our driver, Ricardo.
I was going to say, yeah.
And so we thought, oh, this is going to be a piece of cake. So Ricardo drove us our, maybe 4 miles to our hotel.
Yeah.
And so I naively thought, oh, accessible cabs, they'll be no problem. But as we discovered, that was not exactly true. Even in a big city like Fort Lauderdale, at the time when we were there, it was more difficult to find accessible taxi cabs.
Well, I think that's, you know, when we travel like that to a destination, more often than not, we're pretty well stuck where we are with that, because it's like one thing then to find some kind of accessible transportation to take us from our hotel where we're staying to another point. And we tried to do that again this time in Fort Lauderdale, to just do a day trip to someplace a little further away, 10 miles away, even 10 blocks away. And there was nothing available to provide that transportation for us for an accessible van.
And nothing is more frustrating than having the Uber app on your phone. And yes, I'm calling out Uber. I'm sorry, but when you're in need of an accessible cab or an accessible car, and you open up your Uber app and nothing pops up, and you're like, oh, well, I'll just wait a bit. And you check it again a half an hour later and nothing pops up. So that was a little frustrating. But fortunately, we were in Fort Lauderdale. The beach, the ocean was right outside our hotel. So rather than go 10 miles away to explore the city, we just walked down by the ocean. And
what a shame.
Yeah, right? Exactly. And we found really good stuff. But that was our free time after the big event. So I guess maybe we should talk about the big event.
Talk about said big event.
Yes. And how handsome you look.
And well, how beautiful you looked. And this is, I mean, this was really such an honor to be invited to participate in this. It was a major fundraising event for the Multiple Sclerosis Foundation that provides programs, resources for people living with MS. And we'll have all kinds of information about the foundation in the show notes for this episode. But what a miraculous thing, where I mean, it's like just seeing them put everything together in the ballroom for the event and then modeling the clothes. And what can you tell me about your outfit? Jennifer, question mark.
Well, what's really one of the most exciting things that, along with the fact that it was the MS Foundation's event and we were able to meet some of the people that we've spoken with virtual or on the phone for the last 5 years, but to meet them in person.
IRL, absolutely.
That was really nice. But Nancy Volpe Behringer, she was a contestant on Project Runway. Not just a contestant, but she was the runner-up in season 18. I don't know if you've ever seen the fun fashion show on Bravo, but Nancy was a runner-up. She was the designer of the outfit, the beautiful jacket that I wore. And so that was pretty incredible. And I got to wear a really fancy schmancy jacket that's beautiful.
It really was.
And hand-painted or handcrafted. I don't know. It's wearable art. It was just amazingly gorgeous. I'm so excited. If you're listening to this, check out our website. There will be photos and you can see how gorgeous this jacket is. And again, so I got to see that and get my hair all fancied up and get some makeup. And that was really nice. And it was adaptable and it was adaptive fashion. So that was pretty incredible that I was modeling in my wheelchair.
Well, let me ask you this then, Jennifer, because this was not your first experience modeling adaptive clothing. That you've also participated in the Threads Fashion Show here at Central Michigan University for their apparel merchandising and design fashion show, where the students design everything. How did this particular fashion show, I don't want to say differ or change, but what did you notice was different about this, or was it not anything different? I mean, I don't want to answer it for you, but I mean, certainly CMU in your familiar territory, but you're talking that this was in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, for some major donors for the MS Foundation.
And CMU was beautiful. And the two designers I worked with at Central Michigan were amazing designers, beautiful ladies. But this in Fort Lauderdale, I was so nervous.
Really?
I was so incredibly nervous. And I don't want to say a little starstruck, but starstruck when I met Nancy. And so I was, you know, there will be links to our blog, as we said, or as I said, and you can watch the fashion show and you will see that I went out, I modeled, turned around, didn't even pause at the end. I was just so sigh of relief when I was done strolling down the runway the first time. So it was nerve-wracking. Mm-hmm. It was all kinds of beautiful. Everything was so elegant and well done. And the other ladies in the show were amazing. And I can't say anything other than the two men who were in the show were very handsome, especially a certain model that I know.
You're a little biased on that.
Well, yeah. How was it for you to model? What was it like to stroll the runway?
It was, I think it helped me. Because I've seen you in other shows, so I kind of knew what to expect. It was really rewarding for me just that I was able to model adaptive clothing for men. And what I loved is, I didn't know what shoes to wear, but then when I said, oh, you can wear your black tennis shoes, I was like, well, what is this outfit even going to look like? And what I loved about it is my outfit was, and I actually wearing the jeans just because it was adaptable jeans. So I don't, I don't have good dexterity in my hands. A lot of people, well, not a lot, but people with MS don't have good dexterity. And so when I have to like button my pants, my jeans, and like button my shirt, like a, full button up shirt, it gets frustrating, challenging. But these, the pants don't have zippers or buttons. They have a Velcro button of sorts, but then instead of a zipper, it's all magnets. And then the shirt, and the buttons are on the shirt, but you don't have to fasten them. It's all magnetic. And it was so, I loved it so much. Magna Ready was the company. But I loved it so much and actually just got some shirts and another pair of jeans in the mail yesterday. And we'll have links to Magna Ready in the show notes, just because it's such an incredible company for adaptive fashion.
And the quality is really, it's really nice. And they don't look like what you, if you in your head have a vision of adaptive fashion, mm-hmm. they look like anybody else's cute clothes. And it's so, just to watch you just get your clothes on, because Nan, I have conceded, I have trouble with my dexterity. Mm-hmm. And so come most times I wear sweaters, things I can pull over my head.
Oh, absolutely.
But you still wear button down shirts quite often. And to see you get dressed in a matter of 5 seconds, like me, I can just throw on a sweater. Well, Dan just put on a really nice dress shirt or colored shirt, and the buttons just boom, they were done.
It was just like a firecracker. Yes. It just like zip and unzip. And I think that was the thing that, like I'd said, while I was getting ready to fashion, because you can go and they're saying, oh, models just have fun with it on the runway and do this and show off your adaptive clothing. Well, how am I going to show off adaptive clothing and the awesomeness of these magnetic things? And I honestly wanted to get to the end of the runway and just rip the shirt off to show that. And I'm thinking, well, no, I thought, well, even just to, unbutton the top two buttons. And what really worked with this was that I got, there was an escort, like a runway escort that was there for the women, some of the women, because he wasn't there for everyone. And then myself and the other male model. But I think because I don't know why she didn't walk with with, I don't know. But anyway, she was with me. And as we're backstage lining up and doing this, and I was telling her about it, and she says, oh, I could just look really, really impressed, and I'll go and I'll attack you and start to unbutton them. And I said, okay, well, no. And I said, how about, you know, you start, but then I'll hold you back and I'll point to my ring. And it was just a lot of fun, Kimba, and she was so fun. I mean, just that we're there, like, within a matter of a couple minutes, just so we, like, pulled together this little stage presence. So that was a lot of fun.
Not to give away behind the scenes secrets, but Dan walked, I think you were number 8.
I was number 8.
And I was number 13. So here I am, nervous behind the scenes. There goes my husband. And about maybe 30 seconds after you walked away, I just hear all this incredible laughter. And I'm like, oh, that's my Dan. And I knew, but I didn't know the story. So it was really fun to see in the video exactly just how charming and handsome you were. So that was fun. And then I rolled out, and then we were able to do our final walk together, or walk by each other, and we were able to steal a quick kiss. And it was just a lovely evening. But the thing that when I shared the video with my mom, I remember her saying, or being somewhat surprised, like, I hope Dan's using a cane. So when did you start using a cane, or are you using a cane now, Bay?
This was a surprise to me.
And I don't want to say like using a cane is a bad thing, but it was just, my mom was surprised because she hadn't seen you walk with a cane. And it was a nice, I don't want to say an accessory to the outfit, but it was something you're not commonly using. You're not known to use a cane often. So here's Dan in this cute adaptive outfit.
Well, and that was the thing. It was just probably several weeks before the show, I'd gotten an email from the company. It was Fashionable Canes, and I had heard of them. And they asked me, they sent a website for, and they were like, which cane do you want to use? And that, I think that was the thing. It's just like, I don't use a cane. And I think that just opens a whole, I don't want to say can of worms, but just like stuff that, you know, people who live with MS, and obviously I don't walk as well as I used to. And so I'm just thinking, well, I don't use a cane. So I was going to say, no, thank you. But then I started thinking, well, this is a fashion show and they want to show adaptive fashion and showing that fashion can look great for people who need accessible outfits, accessible apparel. And so I'm just like, well, this is for the company. They need their incredible things on display. And so I'm like, sure, give me this orange one, because obviously orange color of MS. And so that was a lot of fun just to be able to show that off. And really what was fun for me was when before the show, they had like a social hour for all the attendees, the donors and things, people at the show. And I was just walking around with said cane, and a woman who has MS, who was there as a guest, came up and she was like, where did you get that? That looks so awesome and blah, blah, blah. Well, before I met her, we had met with the CEO of the company who was there. And so I just said I was able to connect her, because she said that she bought a cane from like UK or something. It didn't quite match up to what she needed, but she was absolutely in love with my cane, and just to be able to connect them. So now hopefully she's styling with it too. And I got to bring the cane home, and I think it was custom made for my height and stuff. And I mean, just knowing that I have that available if and when I need it, and especially you and I have talked about it, sometimes, if I'm going a long distance, rather than hanging onto your wheelchair and stuff, just to be able to have a cane just to help. And I think those are moments that, you know, when you're living with the disease, you just have to, you know, you'd said as far as like conceding to things, you know, it's just the reality that, that this, this is, and it's nothing to be embarrassed about. It's just, I think it's just maybe the reality of what it means to have MS for 25 plus years.
And the cane gives you a level of independence, I imagine. So, so you are not having to hang on to my chair, or just, you know, have that stability. And one of the great things that caregiver Jen loved about it is that there is a light in the cane. So if you are walking at night, how wonderful is that? So you will be able to see where you are putting it, so you have good footing. And I just thought it was a great thing. And I know, I remember my first cane when I was still walking. That's kind of a scary step.
Truly.
But really, but this is a good, I mean, it's attractive. It's not like a big, ugly, not that, you know, quad canes are ugly or metal canes are ugly, but this is fashionable and it's practical. And what a great, you know, we go to Florida, heavens, that's awesome. But then you also get accessible button, wonderful Magna Ready clothes and a cane. It's like such a good way to score.
Absolutely. And I think that's, you know, so then I guess that's the question for everyone out there in listener land. I mean, how have you benefited from accessible fashion, or what are you looking for to make your fashion more accessible, adaptable? I think, yeah, for me, just having, well, I mean, just like we've done something with Cadence shoes, and what I loved about those shoes is just that they have a Velcro fasten on them, but they don't look like a Velcro fashioned shoe. You know, I have a shirt that doesn't look like an adaptable shirt. It looks like every other shirt I own. I'm not name dropping, but you know, I get my shirts from, you know, Kohl's, Joseph A. Bank. It looks just like anything you can get at those stores, and the prices are comparable. For the Magna Ready, I just think that that's just fashion that you don't have to look like you have adaptive fashion.
And I, all of the other women who modeled Nancy's other designs, they were thoughtful. Just the accessories or the ways that the clothes were adaptive, it just looked like really cute clothes. And I think that's the trademark of a good designer like Nancy, an adaptive fashion to make getting dressed less of a chore, because energy conservation for people living with this chronic illness is important. We don't have a lot of gas in our tank, and any little shortcuts can help us. So I think that adaptive fashion is really important. And I'm just so happy that we were able to do it. And when this first got brought to our, like someone asked us to do this, when I heard the date of the fashion show was November 14th, well, I was like, absolutely, that's the date or the day that I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. 28 years ago. So then 28 years later, imagine I would be rocking the runway in Fort Lauderdale. I was like, absolutely. And to see you doing it as well, that was pretty incredible.
Well, I was going to say, because that is the question, that's where I was thinking of you. I'm always thinking of you, right? But
thank you.
But just, you know, that it was that just taking yourself back to the day of I mean, everybody who's living with with MS has, you know, remembers the day they were diagnosed and what that was like. And so it's just like taking you back to that date back in 1997. Just that if someone would have told you, as you know, amongst the tears of crying of a diagnosis, to say, but you realize that 28 years from this date, you will be modeling clothing, adaptive clothing, in Fort Lauderdale on a runway. I mean, with just
with my husband. Don't leave that part out.
Well, I was.
I mean, that's all. That's just the incredibleness of our life, and that's hope. I know that when I was first diagnosed, it was very dark, and you don't think you're ever going to get through it. But I would like to believe that for all of us, there is that hopeful this can happen, and not that you're going to be modeling or married, but just that there is something to help you get through the hard times and to keep moving forward. And I hope that's kind of the point of your and my existence, is just to keep going, that there's something more to look forward to.
And I think that's where you have to, position yourself, because this isn't to say OMS is easy. I mean, this is a challenge, and it's an everyday, just challenge. I mean, to get through every day and dealing with the stuff that people have to deal with when they're living with the disease. But it is just showing up and just doing the best you can with what you have. And that's what we try to do. And it's just giving yourself the ability or the grace to know just today's not the day I need to take it easy. But then other days it's like, let's make this happen. Let's do this. But, we talk about this, but none of this would be possible without caregiver Jen to help us when we travel.
And we wouldn't have had this opportunity, this invitation, if it wasn't for the MS Foundation. Mm. And I will say Delta Airlines, they made our transportation. They made those transfers. As nervous as I was, one down, four to go, one down, two down, they got easier because I was in good hands with Delta. And I was in good hands because you were there, Dan, and Jen was there, like you said. So it's just really, you have to find a village and lean on your people, whether you're living with MS or anything. It's just that support is so important, and you have to open yourself up.
Well, just to be vulnerable, to know when to ask for help, and being okay with that. I think just like with the adaptive fashion, with using a cane, it's just like it opens the door to so many different opportunities, however you want them to go. So, wow.
It was a great trip, and it's great to be here and back in Michigan where it's snowy. And we can remember a few weeks ago that we were at the ocean in sunshine. And
never ate a meal inside. All of our meals were outside overlooking the ocean. And so what a blessing.
Yeah, it really was. So thank you for modeling with me.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for leading the way. But we will have information about all of this in the show notes and a link to our website where we have photos from the event and links to the actual fashion show, so you can see all the models modeling their incredible fashion at the MS Focus on Fashion event. And so until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
I'm Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. Take care. We hope you enjoyed this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Be sure to subscribe, rate us, and share your review to let us know how we're doing and what you want us to talk about in future episodes. You can email us at acoupletakesonms@gmail.com or follow us on our blog, coupletakesonms.com, or on Twitter at coupletakesonms. Until next time, take care and keep moving forward.